Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning, good morning, good morning here on the 20th of July, 2017. The Lord's not making another one. Let's run with patience the race that is set before us today. God bless you all. Thanks for joining us. We got 20 people in the queue. Got room for 10 more of you. Jump in here with us. Elizabeth Johnson, the activist mommy, is coming up. She's probably going to join us here at the bottom of the hour. You don't want to miss that. You just don't want to miss it. She's been causing quite a stir all across America. And with some of the videos that she's been producing, some of the things that she's been saying, I've known Elizabeth for 15 years. And so I know Elizabeth, you know what I'm talking about. I know the activist mommy. And so we're going to get an inside peek at her. That's coming up at 7:20. But I was thinking today, let me dive right into it, okay? Let me dive right in here, folks. See, one of the issues we're dealing with, I'm pumped. I'm excited because I'm going to go to Louisville, Kentucky this weekend, and sparks ought to fly down there because of just recently those 11 people who were arrested for sitting down in front of the abortion clinic have now been charged with federal crime. See, it was trespassing, and a misdemeanor trespassing charge has now become a federal crime. That's the country we're living in, a face charge. And so there's going to be hundreds and hundreds of us down in Louisville, Kentucky this weekend. We have to ask starting this weekend, we have to ask ourselves really, what's our strategy? What's a strategy? You know, you look at the left, you look at our enemies, man, do they have a strategy? Huh? Do they ever have a strategy? When something happens, boom, they got people on the street, they're Facebooking, they're emailing each other, they're making phone calls. They are organized. We try to do that with the Salt and Light Brigade, and whether it's been our, you know, my fault or whatever, we haven't gotten to where we need to get. And it's because our strategy, the way we think, our strategy. My buddy Chad said, Coach, our problem is we don't have a strategy. We have tactics. We use tactics. We don't have any long-term strategy. 44 years, abortions are still murdering babies. We've had these guys elected into office. They won't overturn Roe. They won't overturn Planned Parenthood. They won't overturn health care. And see, our strategy has been what? We have two strategies in the church. The double R approach, Republicans and rapture. That's the approach of the church. And let's be honest here. Church doesn't play together. We don't play together. You can walk into any town and if going to an old town, there'll be four churches on the corner. Street corner, there'll be four churches probably, or relatively close to. I can take you downtown Columbus, Ohio, and show you this. Four churches on the corner. And number one, they don't even believe the same thing. And number two, they probably don't even talk to each other. They probably don't. And one of the things I noticed from the recent gay pride parade, homosexual pride parade here in Columbus, Ohio, when the Black Lives Matter folks came out and blocked the parade, that the Stonewall Columbus, the homosexual mafia, their gates were stormed by Black Lives Matter, who came and complained that Stonewall had done this. And you know what Stonewall Union did? They want to drop the charges against Black Lives Matter. They want to drop the charges because understand this. The left never fights with themselves. Oh, they may fight with themselves, but they never do it publicly. They never do. And you know what? We holier-than-thou Christians, we can't wait to fight with each other. We can't wait to point out where this guy's wrong and that guy's wrong. And that guy's not being very Christian and that's not very Christian. You shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that. And as a result, we have no strategy. There's no other way, folks, to explain. There's no other way to explain the lack of progress against these cultural issues other than we are without a strategy. No, we're not. Republicans and rapture. That's our strategy. Personally, I'm pretty sick of it. 11 of my friends are going to go down to Louisville and have to face real jail time, penitentiary time, for doing something that the church should have stopped a long time ago, the slaughter of unborn children. Should already stop. We won't do it. And how about some of these conspiracy theories that we hear so much about? Hey, folks, are you convinced yet that there's no difference between the Republicans and Democrats? Is that still a conspiracy theory, or have you become convinced of that yet? Are you convinced of that yet? Are you convinced of the fact that there is a new world order, that there really is a shadow government? Are you convinced of that yet? Is that still a conspiracy? Still a conspiracy theory? You still believe in what you're seeing on any of those news channels? You still believe in that stuff? You can't see how we're being manipulated? You can't see how Jesus warned us that a strong delusion was going to come at 2 Thessalonians. Chad, let's go there. Jared, let's go there real quick. I always want to use a scripture. I didn't have one to just this minute. 2 Thessalonians. And I want to show you exactly what's going on with us. Hey, folks, yesterday or 2 days ago, by the way, did I tell you they were going to pull the video yesterday? Did I tell you? Huh? I knew it because everybody knows those copyrights to Schindler's List. Oh, my goodness. We can't be violating that copyright. Showing that 4-minute video of Schindler's List. Oh, my goodness. So they pulled the whole show down. Trying to explain to you yesterday of exactly what's going on. We're not aggressive enough. All power has been given to us both in heaven and in earth. Go ye into all the world, gospel of Jesus Christ, teaching them to observe all I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, Jared. This is what we're dealing with. In fact, Chad or somebody brought it up in the queue before we got going. Hang in there. Elizabeth's coming up here in about 20 minutes with us. And I want to show you something. Verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, a son of perdition. We are so focused on the Antichrist that all we worry about in our prophecy, oh, is this him? Is that him? Is that him? Is that him? Is that him? Instead of standing up and just fighting, see, if I'm sitting on my back porch and the mosquitoes are attacking, and one of them has malaria, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not just swatting the one that has malaria. I'm swatting every stinking mosquito that comes near me because I don't want that malaria to get into anybody. But see, we're sitting back, and rather than standing up and swatting the mosquitoes, we want to say, well, not that one, not that one. That one's okay. Not that one, not that one. And waiting for the one with malaria to show up, the son of perdition. That we spend all of our time arguing about, is he it? Is he it? Is it coming now? Is it coming tomorrow? When's it coming? What are we going to do? Call the Republicans. Look for the rapture. That's our strategy. Somebody say amen. Come on, somebody say amen. Say, Coach, I've never heard said like amen, nobody Coach, said.
Amen.
Thanks.
Amen.
Thanks. So the son of perdition who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's what's going on. Political correctness, immorality, masquerading as God. Masquerading as God in our churches, and our churches sitting compliantly obeying a government who has put itself in position as God, worshiping and serving the creature rather than the creator. That's going on in our midst, and the church could not. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you this is going to happen. And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. It's 2,000 years ago. They're looking for the rapture 2,000 years ago. They were looking for the second coming of Jesus 2,000 years ago. And we're still sitting here looking for the second coming of Jesus 2,000 years later. Work while the sun shine, for a day cometh when no man can work. This is not hard. For the mystery of iniquity, verse 7, doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let. Until he be taken out of the way. And then, oh, shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him, whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, what cause? Well, we just read it for the cause. And with all deceivableness and unrighteousness and in that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth. They receive not the love of the truth. Why are they not receiving the love of the truth? Because we're not telling them the truth. Because as I wrote today, and as Matt told me the other day, our problem is we love people more than we love God. We love people more than we love his precepts and his standards. We love God. We love people. We excuse people's behavior, thinking we're showing them love. That's a great deception. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Now, what would that lie be? Huh? Well, it could be a lot of different things. Yeah, could be rapture, could be Republican, could be just pray about it, could be just who am I to judge, could be God helps those who help themselves. All these meaningless phrases that we hear thrown around by Christians that aren't even Christian-based. Love the sin, sinner, hate the sin. Gandhi said that. Jesus didn't say that. Gandhi said that. And yet that stuff rolls off of our mouth, see? It rolls right off of our tongue. Like we say these things, these platitudes, these meaningless platitudes, and we think that we're advancing something. We aren't advancing anything when we do that. Why? We don't have a strategy. We don't have a strategy at all, man. I want to show you a couple things here before we get too deep in. I sent you a couple things. Hey guys, I still haven't seen the movie The Matrix. I think I'm going to have to see it because I hear from people all the time about red pill and blue pill and Matrix. I haven't seen it. I'm going to make that a to do. I'm going to have to sit down and watch it. But if you cannot understand, if you cannot see now that the devil is at work and the devil has a team, if you cannot see that the devil has a multifaceted strategy, and if you cannot see that the church has none, somebody say amen. The church has no
amen.
Strategy. No amen. Strategy. The church has no strategy. What was it we said yesterday? Churches are just keepers of the aquarium. That's all they are. They're no longer fishers of men. They're just keepers of the aquarium. They have no strategy, no plan, no thing to push back darkness at all. The churches have no plan to stop homosexuality. They have no plan to stop abortion. They have no plan to stop sex outside of marriage. They have no plan to stop divorce. They have no plan to stop overarching arm of government. They have no plan to stop the increasing taxation upon the people to where they become slaves, the education of their children in the public schools. The church has no plan. In fact, you go to the average church and you knock on the door and you ask the pastor at that door, say, hey, what are you guys doing about Christian education? And he's going to look at you like you said, like you passed gas or something. He says, oh, no, we have good public schools here. Or he might say, well, we have Sunday school. They have no plan to recapture the minds of the children. None. None. We have no plan. We have tactics. I got to hurry along here. Okay, boys. Somebody's got to tell you. Nobody will tell you, so I will. Jared, click on Denny Hastert. Click on Denny Hastert. I don't want to go there, but I got to go there. Pedogate's fake, isn't it? It's all fake. Nobody's doing that. By the way, John McCain has brain tumor. I'm not going to say much more than that. Folks, this is in USA Today. Yesterday, former U.S. House Speaker. Hang on. Somebody out there smarter than me. Where does the Speaker of the House, where does he line up in ascension to the presidency? Can anybody tell me?
Third.
He's third in line. Third in line to be President of the United States. Okay? This guy was third in line to be President of the United States. He's just been released from federal prison. Former U.S. House Speaker Dennis Hastert has been released from a federal prison 13 months after having served a sentence for a bank fraud conviction linked to his effort to buy silence of a former student he sexually abused during his days as a high school wrestling coach. Hastert, 35, pled guilty, yada, yada, yada. The former speaker served about 13 months of a 15-month sentence, according to federal prison records, and now faces 2 years of supervised release lawsuits from former students who say they were victims of Hastert. Third in line to the presidency. And yeah, Pedogate, nah, that ain't real. The ex-speaker is now under the supervision of a residential reentry management field office in Chicago. Hastert told prosecutors he paid individual A about half of a $3.5 million off-the-books agreement to keep quiet. In other words, Denny Hastert paid $1.5 million to get one of the guys to shut up. The statutes of limitation long expired for sexual abuse, but prosecutors said they identified at least five individuals sexually abused by the Speaker of the House, third in line to be President of the United States, during his years as an educator before he launched his political career in the 1980s. Before Judge Thomas Turkin handed down the sentence, Hastert acknowledged he had abused individual A's and other boys in his charge. I want to apologize to the boys I mistreated when I was a coach, he said. They looked up at me and I took advantage of them. Oh, yeah, they sure did. Listen to this. The former speaker served 20 years in Congress. 20 years in Congress, and 8 years as the highest ranking member of the House before retiring in 2007. He's the longest serving Republican speaker in history. At his sentencing last year, Dirk and the judge called Hastert a serial child molester and ordered him to attend a sex offender treatment program. Nothing is more disturbing than having serial child molester and Speaker of the House in the same sentence, the judge said. Boys and girls, you think this isn't real? Huh? You think it isn't real? Is there any strategy from the church on this one? We have a church doesn't even want to believe it's true. Church won't even talk about it. In fact, oh, dare I say that? Some people in the church are engaged in it. Any place you find young children, you're going to find molesters. It's like ants to honey. And then click on the next one. It says pedos. Click on that one for me, Jared. Elizabeth's coming up here in about 10 minutes. We'll get her going on here. I got to get some of this stuff before you. I don't know if you guys don't follow this stuff. I know you don't have as much time as I do. Sarge, he follows it a lot. I know you just don't have time. But this is on the Dave Hodges show. I respect Dave Hodges, and I believe in to be an honest man. He's one of the front line guys. Dave Hodges and Hagman and Hagman, Steve Quayle and Liz Crokin, and I could go on a lot of them who are holding ground for us, holding the line. I bet none of these guys are ever invited to speak in churches. Look at this. Breaking. Many elite headed to prison for child sex trafficking. This is Liz Crokin. She's doing a lot of research on it. Look down at the bottom here. Did you know that in Trump's first 30 days in office, his people, mainly Attorney General Jeff Sessions, prosecuted 1,500 sex traffickers? To date, Trump and Sessions have prosecuted 3,500 child sex traffickers. Did you guys know that? No, you didn't know that. They don't tell us that. There's one yesterday, a guy, former mayor of Madison, Ohio, who's a deeply connected in the Democratic circles. He just went away for life. Folks, this stuff's real. Did you know that President Trump issued an executive order giving the FBI extra power to crack down on human trafficking? This should be one of the biggest stories in the national news, said Crokin. Instead, the mainstream media has barely, if at all, covered any of these mass pedophile arrests. This begs the question, why? Why? The numbers are staggering when you think that less than 400 sex trafficking-related arrests were made in 2014. 400 sex trafficking arrests in 2014, and 3,500 have already been charged and being prosecuted right now. See, there's collusion between the U.S. and Russia. Are you ready for this one? Dave Hodges says there's collusion between the U.S. and Russia because why? Putin is sick of it as well. He's sick of the pedophilia, the homosex. They are in partnership. Hey, not me saying it. Research done by Liz Crokin, Dave Hodges, and other. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this. Go down, slide on down just a little bit farther, Jared. Folks, this is real and it's going on right now. Despite what they're telling you, this is going on right now. The clear intent of the deep state. Listen to this. The clear intent of the deep state is not to just get Donald Trump impeached over the Russian collusion allegation, but to keep the two men apart. Keep Putin and Trump apart. Because why? They're going after these pedophiles that everybody tells us doesn't exist. Now, I'm curious. Has your pastor spoken about this at all? See, we don't have a strategy. Hey, Chad, we don't even have a tactic. But we certainly don't even have a strategy. We have no strategy at all to be able to fight this stuff. And so my frustration starts to get high. Because why? Because I'm tired of just doing tactics. I'm tired. I don't want to just do tactics. I want to do more. But do you have any idea how many teeth I've had to pull? How many teeth I've had to pull just to get people to get involved? We're trying to build the Salt and Light Brigade. We can't even get people to give us their emails. They won't even give us their email. Now, is it, you know, I'm not blaming anybody. So maybe we're not doing something right. I don't know. But you look at what's going on the left. They are so organized. They have people in place. What's our strategy? Republicans? A rapture. And I hope it's the rapture, because it obviously ain't Republicans. You know what's really ticking them off? Trump ain't a Republican. You haven't picked that up yet? He's not a Republican. And see, there's some of you watching right now think that's a bad thing. See, I think it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing that he's not a Republican. I think it's a good thing that he's not a, I think it's a good thing. And we don't get it. See, hang on. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, what's happening, Coach?
Give it to me.
And just wanted to give you a little bit of good news this morning. Pastor Bill has met with a couple of them guys from that child sex ring, the trafficking,
uh-huh,
three or four weeks ago, and they're coming in this weekend to speak to the whole congregation, and we are teaming up with.
Good. Because it's going on for sure, buddy. It's going on for sure, and we want to ignore it. I appreciate it, Jeff. Thanks, man. I got me in a hurry. Elizabeth's with us, but see you, buddy. We're not going to bring her up. We're not going to bring it up yet. See, listen, folks. This is going on right in our midst. All this stuff that we've had with Russ Dizdar, we're talking about sexually satanic ritually abused, and talking about MK off. That stuff's all real. It's all real, and we don't want to admit it. And here's what you better understand. I'm going to bring Elizabeth in here in just a second. Here's what you better understand, see. They are after, folks, the strongest desire that a human being has, and that's to have an orgasm. That to eat and to have orgasms is the greatest desire of a human being. I don't know if you knew that or not, but to live and to breathe, certainly. But to have an orgasm. And what they are doing is they are messing with our young children to try to pervert that whole experience. See, that whole orgasmic experience. What do you think pornography is about? What do you think all of these, the sexual innuendos on TV are all about? Why do you think they're trying to cram, transsexualism down our throat? Because they understand that the greatest way to manipulate somebody is through their sex organs. They understand that. We don't understand that. We have no strategy against this. See, and so what we see is happening and is breaking out all across America is a absolute toxic dump of filth and porn and sex into the lives of our children. That's what their strategy is. What's our strategy? Republicans and rapture. Go ahead, Raj.
Real quick. The feminization of men, it has destroyed us. We have whole blocks of men in neighborhoods with one goal in mind, is to get up and go to work and provide for their family only. And they don't understand the culture that their children are going to grow up and go into. And it is so clear we do not have strong biblical men out there to combat anything.
First of all, you're right, Roger, but they don't even know there's anything to combat.
But that's their game plan too, is the total feminization of men. It's clear that's what's going on. And then the vacuum is filled by others.
Amen. Amen. Well, let me bring in Elizabeth here real quickly. Roger, couldn't agree with you more. Elizabeth is, you probably maybe have never done Google Hangouts like this before. There are 20 people that are in the queue with us. It's like talk radio. And so there's feedback that we can have. It's going on, and it's going out on a lot of different things. The thing that's always impressed me about you, Elizabeth, and I told the story yesterday when we were at Target about a year ago. And I said, Elizabeth, you got to start making videos, right? Because you are just the opposite of what they want to think of Christian women to be, right? Christian women are supposed to be overweight, have ugly teeth, have big buns in their hair, not be attractive in any way. And so when you come out and you're pretty and you are a feminist, you believe in strong women, but under the headship of a husband, you have 10 children, you blow away every stereotype that they have. And Elizabeth, you are rocking You are rocking America. What the heck is going on?
Can you see me and hear me okay?
Oh, yeah, we see you great, yeah.
Oh, well, God is on the move, that is for sure. And this Teen Vogue story has blown up big time. We're at over 10 million views right now.
And folks, think about that a minute. She posts a video from her house out in her backyard with a fire, and 10 million people have watched that video. Don't think you can't make a difference right where you live. Go on, Elizabeth. I'll jump in like this every once in a while.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, in just a week, 75,000 more people are following my page in 1 week. That's how many followers have been added to the page.
What do you think it is, Elizabeth? What is the attraction? Because I remember when you first put that video up about, I can't remember which one it was. I said, Elizabeth, that's going to get 10 million hits. It's going, and you said, oh, and it passed that, didn't it?
The Women's March.
What is it you think you've tapped into, Elizabeth? Look at that cute thing beside you there. Elizabeth, you muted yourself. We'll get you. It's not,
there
you go. There you go.
I believe there's a dearth of courage in Christianity today. And I believe that just standing up and modeling courage for people has been inspiring for them. Being willing to say the controversial things about what God's word says on the burning issues of the day has inspired a lot of people to speak out in their sphere of influence.
Why do you think, Elizabeth, you specifically as a woman, why are you able to get traction that maybe a guy like me or a guy like Flip Benham or a guy like we can't get that traction? What do you think it is, Elizabeth?
Well, I don't presume to know the answer to that. I believe that for 20 years, I have faithfully poured everything into my children and my husband, and I believe that God has just tapped me on the shoulder at this point in time and said, I've seen your faithfulness in the little things and the mundane things and the diaper changing and in the homeschooling and the things that no one notices. I've seen the servanthood and how you've decreased yourself for 20 years. And now you've been faithful in the small things, and now I want to grant you something larger. God gives us lions and bears to slay, and I've had those little things over my life, and I think that he has a Goliath that he wants me to take on.
So, Elizabeth, one of the reasons I wanted to bring you onto the show here is because I know you. To a lot of people, you're just the activist mommy. You're just somebody we see, right? You're just a figurehead. You're just a person there, right? Our relationship goes back a few years. I know you. I know your husband. I know your children.
Right.
And Elizabeth, you're not some newbie. I mean, you just didn't decide, I think I'm going to start making YouTube videos. You have a track record of activism. Would you talk about that a little bit so people understand the depth of what's behind what they're seeing on those videos?
Sure. My husband and I have always been very involved in the pro-life movement. We have always gone to abortion clinics to minister the gospel and all for women help. We have been vocal on social issues and political issues. My husband ran for office many years ago and has written a lot of things. He's an author. He has written 9 novels as well. And so we've always been very, very active. But again, my focus has been primarily on my children. As the word instructs a woman, you know, to be faithful in her duties to her husband and her children. I really have focused on that over the years. But
10 children, Elizabeth, 10 children, and yes, not a one of them have spent the first second in government schools, right?
Right. They've always been homeschooled. My husband and I were public schooled, but they have always been homeschooled. But when the whole transgender bathroom thing happened, I just you know, spiritually was unglued. I was outraged. As a mama bear, I could not believe what our children were being asked, the place they were being asked to be put in. And when I made that first video on transgender bathrooms, you know, that's when it all started. And it's just all been very organic. The growth has been very organic. It's nothing that I ever dreamed would happen, Coach. As the Women's March video went viral, went to, it's at 12 million now. That really, really drew a lot of attention to the platform. And I began to see people really are hungry to see the silliness and the sinfulness reproved and exposed. And people are being inspired everywhere. I got a call from a woman last night. Actually, no, I got an email from her. And she said, oh my goodness, she says, you know, they call me mommy, or they call me the activist mommy because they don't know my name. And she said, oh my goodness, she said, I was texting all of my friends and we were so outraged about the Teen Vogue article. We saw your video and we were all networking about what we could do about it. And she said, I called Fox in our local area and they said, we want to come do a story on you. So she said, I got back into my texting and I started texting my friends. Hey guys, who wants to come be interviewed with me? They want several families. And she said, they all bailed on me.
Boy.
No one would come and be with me. And she said, Elizabeth, I'm just this little David and I gotta talk to this news station. And this is like a Goliath for me. What do I do? And I called her up and I was able to just pray with her and encourage her. This is a woman in Missouri. And it's just so exciting to see how very organically God is raising up people in their sphere to push back against the darkness that is trying to swallow our children, our grandchildren.
Elizabeth, I'm sure, folks, Coach Dave here with Elizabeth Johnston, the activist mommy. Her husband, she didn't say this, her husband is a practicing family physician, has a very, very strong practice here in the Zanesville, Ohio area. They're not some newbies. They're not Johnny come lately. These folks have been on the front lines of this war. Their children are accomplished. One is an accomplished, Anna Jay is an accomplished musician. Charity is an accomplished photographer. These are homeschooled children. There is fruit in the lives of this family. I want you to understand that. But Elizabeth, this does not come without a price. You certainly must be under attack from all directions on the left. Share a little bit of that with us.
Yeah, people really have no idea what behind the scenes is going on. We get graphic death threats in my email inbox at my house. People have been calling my house. People have been posting my picture with my home address and my phone number online. You know the left. They're very nasty. And I have, you know, a number of people who are just entirely obsessed with me. I don't know what they do all day other than try to find some way to discredit this ministry. And they try to, they're lying about us. They're screenshotting things that, for instance, my husband has written 15 years ago, and they are making it look like he says things that he does not say.
Hey, Elizabeth, let's be honest here. Even on this show, I say things, and after I get through saying it, I think, you know, maybe I shouldn't have said that, right? And we know then they grab it, Right Wing Watch grabs it, and they make a big story out of it that he said this. We all say things that probably, if we had taken the time to think it through, may not have said it or may not have written it. And so because you guys have a past and have a history, there's all kinds of stuff out there that they cannot wait to use against you.
Well, and I mean, there's nothing that I regret ever saying, to be honest with you.
I mean, you believe it, right? You believe it, still believe it.
I mean, Right Wing Watch is a rag. They're not worth the time. You consider the messenger. If they pick a fight with you, you know you're doing something right.
Right.
So I'm not worried about them. But I praise God that I am counted worthy to feel a little bit of pressure. I don't call it persecution, a little bit of pressure for his namesake and his glory. And I'm just going to keep wiping the spit off of my Savior's face, who loved me and saved me and whose good name is under assault every day in this country.
Amen. I'm going to up the queue. Anybody wants to jump in here while I get ready to ask Elizabeth the next question? Go ahead and open up your mic. Elizabeth, we were talking at the first part of the show. We have no strategy. Our strategy on our team is Republicans or rapture. That's pretty much it. If the Republicans don't save us, then we have to beg that maybe the rapture is going to save us. What do you think? What can we do, Elizabeth? Because as you know, the churches just they don't want to. The last thing they want is any controversy at all.
Right. No confrontation. Right. And that kind of goes to your first question. You know, why do you think people are so interested in what you're doing? I do think that a female confronting the social issues of the day as a Christian, not as a political pundit, but as a Christian who is bold on the social issues, I believe is very unusual, highly unusual. In fact, I'd like for you to think about if you know another person who's doing it. You have your Ann Coulters of the world, your Michelle Malkins, you have your Tommy Lahrens, women that are really covering the social, covering the political issues from a conservative slant.
That's right, that's right.
But can you think of another female who is tackling head on, courageously, willing to be hated and mocked and named, slung through the mud, the social issues of the day, feminism, Islam, abortion, homosexuality, pedophilia, evil entertainment? Who's doing that? And I believe that it's unusual, and people are past hungry for it. And their little sphere of influence, but to see someone doing it on a larger scale is encouraging to them. And so I praise God to just be a part of something very, very organic, and it's just been a God thing.
One of the things that we try to, I've spent the last year and a half in particular on this show, Elizabeth, is trying to help people understand the deep state. I mean, we're beginning to see that now, that there really is a man behind the curtain that's controlling all this stuff. And I know that you've been swamped with interviews. Christian media has been covering you and, interview requests and all that. But as you said, the Fox Newses of the world, they'll go the conservative stuff. They don't want that Christian stuff, do they, Elizabeth? They don't want you to come on there and mention that J word and start talking about Jesus and right and wrong and moral. And they don't want that stuff. They'll let Ann Coulter come on and Republicans good, Democrats bad. But they're not going to let you come on and say Jesus good, everybody else bad.
It'll be real interesting to see how all of this continues to pan out. I had a publicist reach out to a bunch of Fox News executives and producers about this story, about the Teen Vogue story, because to me, it is a perfect primetime story. I would love to be interviewed across from the author of this story, Gigi Engle. Are you kidding
me? Are you kidding me?
And so anyway, he reached out and he said, Elizabeth, truly, I am amazed at the silence that I have received in return for these requests. He said the viral nature of this video, and the number of media outlets that are covering it are truly make it worthy of a primetime interview. And so it is a very graphic story, the Teen Vogue story. And so you do need to be careful and sensitive to your listeners. But even more than the graphic nature of it, I think that because it kind of is closely linked to the LGBT agenda, it is an issue for them not wanting to cover it.
Yeah. They don't want to get into that, do they? They don't want to go deeply into that stuff. And I believe also, as I said earlier, the whole sexual dysfunction that's going on in America is an attack of the enemy. And many of those higher ups are in some way or another involved with it, and they just don't want to go there. Let me open up the queue. Certainly somebody out there in the queue has got a question they'd like to ask Elizabeth. Give him a second here, Elizabeth, to unmute himself.
No problem.
Go, Raj.
Dave, I'll start real quick. First of all, activist mommy, we love you here in the Weaver household. And great.
Thank you.
We love what you're doing. Quickly, The huddle feels pretty strong, but men are not doing their job in the family, in the church, in the community. What are your thoughts on that? And is there a way to work with the activist mommy in ministries such as Dave's to not only help you get women more involved, but to get the husbands more involved? It seems like the husbands are not getting involved, but the women who love the Lord are.
Well, it's true. Very good observation, Roger. What do you think, Elizabeth?
It is an epidemic, and sometimes it stymies me. I'll be honest with you, Roger. I'm scratching my head and wondering why. Is it because the men are busy providing for their families, and rightly so? I mean, that takes up a great deal of energy and time to provide for your family, especially when you have a family as large as ours. There's not enough money to feed these kids' mouths. And the feminization of our culture, the feminists have successfully neutered men and silenced men and caused men to be fearful of stepping up to the plate and taking their rightful place as leaders and protectors. We as women who are not vagina costume wearing abort Mike Pence, March on Washington women, we want men to protect women and children.
Men.
That is what normal women want, and that is what most women want in America still. We want men to protect us. We want them to step up to the plate and speak out when men are being allowed with male body parts to change in our locker rooms and in our dressing rooms and in our bathrooms. We want them to do whatever is necessary to stop this insanity and to protect women and children. However, I believe that the feminist movement has really placed men in a neutered in a cowardly position, and men are not stepping up to the plate like they must if we are going to win this culture war.
You're a great example.
How can you help? Everybody needs to speak up in their sphere of influence. Everyone needs to, the things that God is tugging on your heart to do, everyone needs to, with shaking voice and trembling knees, say yes to the call of God on your life, and it looks different for all of us. And understand that those of us that look courageous, you know, again, our knees are trembling, our voice is shaking, and we push through the fear and we do what God has called us to do, as I'm sure David was very, very scared as well. We push through that fear. And, with my platform personally, it is always very helpful if people will share the material, the content I put out, the videos I put out. That is what increases the platform, gets the word out, and gives me other opportunities to speak to larger audiences.
Well, you know, Elizabeth, I was speaking about it at the beginning of the show. And again, anybody wants to ask Elizabeth a question, go ahead and unmute yourself and I'll see it and we'll pull you up here. We still don't have a strategy. See, in a perfect world, Elizabeth, which, like when we did the Target thing and cost them $20 billion, that was organic, much like what you're doing. It was organic. Yes. Churches didn't get behind it, didn't stand in their pulpits and tell people to do this. And so here you come out and you launch this attack on Teen Vogue and it goes viral and the churches still remain silent on it. There is never a follow-up strategy to what we do. That's why we're losing. Do you have any suggestions of how we can better strategize or come up with plans to be able to take Rahm Emanuel said, never let a crisis go to waste, right? And here it is, man. Here it is.
Christians are too busy fighting with one another to ever do anything together, ultimately. And right. We've got to put aside petty differences.
They don't like the way you do it, do they, Elizabeth? That you're too harsh, you're too mean, you weren't Christ-like, you shouldn't have said that, you didn't show the love of Jesus, all that stuff.
Well, I'm sure that is out there. Honestly, I do feel like I get a lot of support from God's people, from the Christian community. Most of the hate and pushback comes from those who don't know him and who don't agree with our worldview. So I thank God for that. I do believe that the church would benefit greatly from learning the tools of social media. in a greater light. We live in a completely different age in the social media. Boy. And, you know, it's truly amazing that I minister to millions of people a week from my house.
With 10 kids running around.
From my house with 10 children, from my van as I record these rants. The last rant, you know, that has 10 million views was in my backyard around my fire pit. You know, I am a stay-at-home mom doing all of this from home, and I every week reach millions of people. That is incredible. That is outrageous. That shows that we live in a different age, and we need to take tools that God has used us, that the enemy wants to use for evil and for perversion, and we need to use them to glorify God and to win these cultural battles. And, you know, you're using social media. You do a great job using the tools, and a lot more people in the church need to get more savvy and more trendy and hip with this stuff.
Hey, Bobby, jump in here.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, have you had any pushback from schools with 10 kids and homeschooling? I know when I go to these meetings, you'll have like a small army of, quote, unprofessional people sitting around a table pushing their agenda. Have they pushed back, or has CNY created a problem for you through some sort of investigations?
No, I have never had a problem there.
Okay, well, that's good. Yeah. That's good. So you've never had to argue with anybody in the school system to continue doing what you're doing?
Absolutely not. No, I mean, we have decent rules here in Ohio. You have to either have your child tested, or you have to have your child, a certified teacher, look at a portfolio of your child's work from the year and sign off that your child accomplished what they needed to. And
certified teacher, isn't that something?
Yeah.
I'm a certified teacher. I know what that's all about, right, Elizabeth? They still got to keep their tentacles in you, man, any way they
can.
Right. Dylan, did you want to jump in here, Dylan?
Yeah, thanks for joining us today. Just a quick question. I guess, you know, the way the church is now, the way the enemy's worked it, his fingers all throughout it, a lot of times when a man is being the way that I think God has intended him to be, that delivery, not only does it come across just to the church as a whole as not appropriate, but a lot of times women, I think, just the way that God has made them differently, tend to maybe not be as accepting as the brashness, the bluntness, the truth bringing way that a God believing man sometimes does that. What would you say to women like that, who maybe for the first time are experiencing a man of God acting with the warrior spirit that he wants to, and it's obviously something different for them? What would you say to them to encourage them to kind of let that happen?
Because Elizabeth, I think Dylan makes a good point. I think it's scary to some women when they see the man begin to stand up. And sometimes the greatest fights we have, as we all know, is inside our own home.
Oh, yes. I don't know if I'm different from some women and that's the kind of man I wanted to marry. That's the kind of man I did marry. I chose to marry. There was no sudden 10 years after we were married, he wanted to enter the battle, and he previously had not been in it. No, that was the man I married. And so I always wanted a very zealous husband. I was a very zealous follower of Christ myself. And so that really has not been a rub with my husband and I so much. Methodology, yeah, guys, sometimes men can have some rough edges that I think their wives are placed there for a reason, actually, to help them soften some of those rough edges. We all need to be careful to do everything we do in a spirit of love and meekness and gentleness, and to not, you know, come across in a overly harsh and angry way. And I think sometimes wives provide that balance for men that they can't see in themselves. And as for the woman, though, I would just encourage her to read the instructions in Ephesians 5. It says, you know, obviously for a man to lay down his life for a husband, and for a woman to honor her husband and to follow his lead. And I would encourage her to meditate on those scriptures and ask herself if she is, you know, living in compliance with that.
Elizabeth, I'm gonna change directions on you just a bit here. You're a beautiful woman. You have a beautiful family.
Thank you.
you're a mother of 10. When you look, you're a college educated woman. In this age of women's liberation and feminism and all that kind of stuff, we're seeing more and more women putting off childbearing till later. Speak to that, Elizabeth, of what a terrible mistake that is.
Yeah, that really makes me sad. I am a college graduate, and my husband and I met at college in our church activities. And sometimes we got married right out of college. My father said that I needed to graduate before we were married. And so my husband and I waited for 3 years for one another. And then we got married right away, and I started having children. We got pregnant on the honeymoon, actually. And I can't imagine having waited 10 years. It is very important to bear that yoke in your youth. I can't imagine right now at the age of, 41, trying to do the things that I was doing 15 years ago. I can't imagine. I mean, the energy is just not there. I mean, I may look like the Energizer Bunny, but I am not. And the only reason I can get done what I do is because I have an amazing family, and I have kids that believe in what I'm doing and are on board, and we're working together as a team. And I am very adamant about when a woman is in the season of life where she has all those young children, that she must pour everything there. She must train and disciple those children, and she must not even allow ministry to get her distracted from the being diligent with training her children. I could have never, ever, ever done what I'm doing 10 years ago, and I would be absolutely opposed to a woman doing what I'm doing 10, 15 years ago because I'm having to put a lot of time in this. And so, I have a friend who was a speaker and had a ministry when she and her husband got married, and they waited to have children, and she was traveling and speaking. And I think she's very frustrated now because she's my age and she's watching me have all of this freedom and liberty to serve God with my family and branch out and do a lot of things that I could not have done 10 or 15 years ago because I bore that yoke. I had those kids. I put in a lot of effort in training my children to love God, to be obedient, and to be servant-minded. I put in the work, and now she's in a situation where she's losing her ability to minister. She feels like she's going backwards, and she's frustrated because she can't go and speak like she wants. And, just the whole thing of getting that appetite when you're a young married woman for branching out of the home to do a lot of things like that just complicates things for the woman. It's hard for her to be content. And I kind of feel sorry for this woman. I think she's struggling with this, and she's frustrated watching what I'm able to do. And it's just so important it's such a blessing to have children for so many reasons.
Because they're arrows, aren't they, Elizabeth? Those children are arrows, and you just look at you and Patrick and how you're shooting those arrows, where they're going to go. But something I think people need to understand about your family, Elizabeth, is you didn't leave the kids at home and go do ministry. You loaded up the kids and you took them with you. Right. So therefore, ministry to them is just the way you live.
Oh, yeah. We've always done everything as a family. It's why my husband doesn't golf, because it's not really a family affair with young children. If we can't do it as a family, we pretty much don't do it.
And so, in other words, it's not foreign to your kids to go to the abortion clinic. In fact, your children can go to the abortion clinic and argue with the death squads. They can make the pro-life message on their own, can't they?
Absolutely. They are warriors in their own right, and they are speaking with the enemies at the gate. We praise God for that.
Amen.
Hello, we got about five.
That's my little granddaughter, Macy. Say hi, Macy.
Hey, Macy.
I got the headphones on. She can't. Anybody else? We got about 5 minutes left. Anybody else want to jump in here and get your shot at the activist, mommy?
Hey, a quick one, Coach.
Go, Ray.
I just posted one of your videos on the LGBTQRST, whatever.
Yes.
I got, quote, Christians in my circle on it. Anyways, the only response I got back was from one of my relatives saying, the mote in the beam. Regarding calling you a beam in your eye. I don't know whether to respond to them. It seems like getting into an argument with them anymore is futile. I don't know.
Who are you to judge, Elizabeth? That's what Ray's saying. That's what we hear from so many Christians. Oh, yeah, well, who are you to judge, Elizabeth?
Yeah, I agree. Make sure you got the beam out of your eye. Don't go into ministry as a hypocrite. Make sure you got the beam out of your eye and you're living holy, living for Jesus with a pure heart, and he'll take care of the rest. I ask that family member if they know something that I don't know. Am I a homosexual? I don't have any in my eye.
Yeah, they just me that all the time. Go ahead, Larry.
Just as a quick comment, when people tell me to make sure I've got the beam out of my own eye before I look for the speck in somebody else's, I say, oh, and you did that before you told me this?
Right.
It's all good. It's all good. Anybody else? Got a couple minutes here. Speak now or forever hold your peace. All right. Well, Elizabeth, I see your daughter there wanting mommy to get busy being mommy in the morning, I'm sure.
Yes, she was.
So we appreciate the time that you've given us today. We want you to know that you know this, that you are a great encouragement to women in particular, men certainly, women everywhere. And whatever it is that mantle that the Lord has laid upon you, Elizabeth, wear that thing with virtue and with pride. Be proud of it. Not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know you're not. I know you personally. I know the crosses that we all bear. I know the burdens of raising the 10 children. I see the practical application of your faith in the life of you and of your children. And I just want to encourage you that when you step out the way that you stepped out, man, oh man, are you ever going to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune? And it is going to come, but we've put on the full armor of God that we might be able to stand in that evil day, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, gird your loins with truth, shod your feet with the preparation of gospel of peace, carry a shield of faith wherewith you might smite all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and above all the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And I know that you lived your life that way, and I just want to say for those 12 million people and probably double that out there, God bless you and thank you for standing firm and taking a position that actually more men ought to be taking. Amen. Bobby, did you want to jump in here real quick, Bobby?
Yeah, I just wanted to praise her at a tremendous level for doing what the men are too cowardice to do. The men are supposed to be the spiritual leaders, and they're not. I most often see if the woman is a Christian or a spirit, she is the leader, always pushing to go to church while the man is basically doing nothing, even if he's in the house. So dealing with the complete destruction of the family and the people that hear me rant sometimes, I'm always talking about the removal of the man from the home. And one of my phrases is, kids have never behaved in ways seen ever before in human history. All right. Mm-hmm. These kids are dangerous nationwide. They're aggressive. They're beating up mommy. So I just want to thank you for doing what you're doing for the rest of the men that refuse to do it.
It's an honor. It's an honor. And let me say that, you know, my husband is the leader in our home. And this is an odd thing that just organically happened where I am, you know, a public figure right now. Hello.
Reese.
Hey, Reese. Where I'm a public figure, but we are all doing this together as a family and as a team. And he is my greatest cheerleader, really.
Amen. Stand up for Jesus. Ye soldiers of the cross, lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, His army shall he lead till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. God bless you, Elizabeth. Thanks for being with us.
Thank
God
you,
bless God. All of you folks. We'll see you all tomorrow, huh? God bless you.
Bye.